Locked On Bulls, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, a show for the most passionate fan base in the NBA. And your number one source for Chicago Bulls news and stories. On Twitter at Locked On Bulls, at Jordan C. Malley, and at Bulls _ Pep.
People have their opinion.
What other falsehoods are out there?
A lot of the perception things about us.
Are players buying in, Jim?
Yes.
Fair enough.
Rebuilds are difficult. Sometimes it takes years and years. I still believe, given a really good offseason with this draft pick that we have coming and with our ability to get some veteran players in here alongside these young guys, we can make a substantial leap.
Kick back, relax. Locked On Bulls starts now.
My job is to prepare the child for the road, not the road for the child. And these guys are men.
Here are your hosts, Jordan Malley and Matt Peck.
What's up and welcome into Locked On Bulls, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. I'm Matt Peck, also host of the Bulls Outsiders on NBC Sports Chicago, following all 82 Bulls games this season. You can follow me on Twitter at Bulls_Peck. You can follow my co-host Jordan Malley at Jordan C. Malley, and you can follow us at Locked On Bulls. Shoot us an email, lockedonbulls@gmail.com. Hit us up on Facebook, facebook.com/lockedonshybulls. And that text and voicemail line, always there for you, our fellow Bulls fans, 331-979-1369. Got a lot of texts as we were watching the Bulls loss to the Raptors last night. We will get to as much of that mailbag content as possible on tomorrow's show. Again, that number, 331-979-1369. Well, another disappointing yet also entirely predictable outcome as the Bulls fall to the Raptors on their second night of the back-to-back to fall to 4-9 at home this season. This was an ugly game for the majority. Both teams playing on the second night of a back-to-back, and it showed. Ugly basketball, sloppy basketball, lots of turnovers, lots of bad shots. The Bulls, in particular, having an aggressively bad night from behind the three-point line, going 12 of 46 for 26.1%. 46 three-point attempts. Yikes. They failed to capitalize on the fact that the Raptors shot equally bad, 7 of 29 for behind the three-point line, 24.1%, even worse, and the Raptors only managed to shoot 37.8% overall from the field. This was an ugly one, but it was a winnable ugly one. Completely winnable. The Raptors looked disinterested for most of this game. And once again, the Bulls were there with a win for the taking late in a game. Up 8 in the fourth quarter after a nice little run that was orchestrated largely by Denzel Valentine, his hot shooting, and some brilliant playmaking and passing on a couple of lob dunks to rookie sensation Daniel Gafford, who's finally getting some legitimate playing time after being inexplicably shelved to start the season. But of course, when the game's final play was there, and Jim Boylan, we'll get to Boylan a little bit more later on, mentioned after the game, you know, he's not concerning himself with just the final possession. He's got to figure out, you know, how do we build the lead from 8 to 10 or 14, and he's got, you know, an entire game's worth of plays to focus on. Obviously, if it is a game that comes down to the final play, you want to be able to be a team that can win the game on the final play. Really, the only time we've seen the Bulls be a team that can do that is a broken play on Zach LaVine's insanely hot shooting night against Charlotte a couple weeks ago. When it comes to the Bulls trying to draw up a play, I guess Bulls fans have to sit and wonder, as of last night, was it Zach LaVine failing to execute what the plan was? Was it Zach LaVine ignoring the instructions of Jim Boylan and doing his own thing? Because we've started to see Zach go rogue more and more over the last week or so, kind of, you know, ignoring this offensive system and doing his own thing. Well, from what we gathered in postgame comments from Jim and Zach, the plan was to put the ball in Zach's hands and let him try to go win the game. And we've seen that many times since Zach LaVine came to town, and many times we have seen him fail. And we saw him fail again last night. Not to mention the fact that Zach LaVine was having himself a great night. Started with 20 points, 5 assists, and 5 boards in the first half. He was on par for a massive triple-double. A dominant performance in the first half. But so many times that we have seen this season, whether it be Zach LaVine or Lauri Markkanen, we've seen it for both of them. After a strong start, Zach ghosted in the second half. He added a few more rebounds and one more assist, but he finished with the same 20 points that he scored in the first half. And yes, he did take a shot to the back late in this game and was shaken up for a while, shook it off and kept playing. Hasn't been on the injury report, but we also heard yesterday that he's been dealing with a sore shoulder or some kind of shoulder problem. He played through that as well. So clearly Zach was not playing at 100%. Especially towards the final stages of this game after he took that shot to the back. But nonetheless, Jim Boylan has said that he trusts Zach to be that guy at the end of games. And what happened? Zach tries to drive, and in his postgame comments said that he was, you know, trying to get the refs to call a foul, trying to draw a foul and get to the free throw line. Because if he goes to the free throw line and sinks both, that gives the Bulls a one-point edge, essentially, with no time or close to no time remaining. But he draws the double team, but doesn't draw the foul, and puts up a bad shot that misses. And Stacey King pointed out with the telestrator as the game was wrapping up, as the broadcast was wrapping up, that, hey, look, Daniel Gafford, who had been a presence in this game at the rim, was underneath the basket, wide open, all alone, no one within several feet of him, and all Zach has to do as he's driving and draws the double is throw up a nice, simple little lob. Gafford flushes home 2 points, and the Bulls are up one. It looked like he also had Denzel Valentine open behind the three-point line, if he wanted to go that route. But instead, he forces up a tough shot, doesn't get the call, and the Bulls lose. This was the latest example of Zach LaVine having tunnel vision, and especially Zach LaVine having tunnel vision late in games, crunch time scenarios. He does not have the court vision of a guy who should be, yes, a talented scorer, but also good enough to be a playmaker when he needs to be. And that is that was last night one example of the very large problem that exists with trying to make a guy like Zach LaVine be your main guy on a team that's good and a team that can win games and win close games. Because that was about as blatant of an example of poor court vision as you will ever see. And it sucks. It sucks that we have to live and die by Zach LaVine being a hero or a goat. And mostly it's been GOAT so far. And, you know, Zach LaVine not being able to close in crunch time is a tip of the iceberg problem when it comes to this roster, how it's constructed, the coaching staff, ownership and management, you know, everything that is wrong with this team right now. Zach LaVine not being a great closer, yeah, it's a problem. It's one of many problems. But it was at the forefront of another bad loss last night. And it's unfortunate. And coupled with that, the fact that Markkanen also, aside from hitting one corner three late in this game, was, you know, his usual ghosty self yet again. And had a couple of possessions late in this game when he checked back in late in the fourth quarter after the Bulls had already coughed up most of their lead. That when he did get looks, not standing behind the three-point line, and they found him in the paint, or they found him on the block, he looked soft as hell. Turnovers. Turnovers from a soft Lauri Markkanen. So some of this you could blame on the team's two quote-unquote stars, Zach and Lauri, underperforming in the fourth quarter yet again. failing to close yet again when Jim Boylan puts his starters back in, when the bench should actually manage, in this case, to build a lead. But we've seen it flipped, too. We've seen the Bulls bench cough up a lead and Boylan put his starters back in too late, and the Bulls lose that way. They're doing it all of the different ways when it comes to figuring out how to lose games. But it was more of the same in that what it was ultimately was a loss. The Bulls coughed up an 8-point lead for the fifth time this season. Fifth time that the Bulls have been ahead by 8 or more points in the fourth quarter. Coughed up the lead and lost. You could blame some of that on Zach LaVine last night. You could blame some of that on Lauri Markkanen last night. You could blame some of it on Jim Boylan last night. It's more of the same. This team can't close. Can't draw up plays. Can't execute. Once they had built up that 8-point lead in the fourth quarter, they went the next 4 minutes without scoring a single fucking point. Not going to win many games when you go through a 4-minute stretch of the fourth quarter without scoring. Frustrating, to say the least. Just wanted to give a quick shout out to all of our Spotify users. If you are a Locked On Bulls listener who listens to our podcast on Spotify, you can use Spotify Wrapped to show us your top Locked On podcasts for the year. Just take a screenshot and tag us, Locked On Live and at Locked On Bulls, on Twitter, and we will share and retweet that tweet. Give you a shout out, and of course, give our friends at Spotify a shout out. Okay, so my other takeaway from this game, and I mentioned it, you know, when we were dissecting what exactly went wrong after what went right in this game and in the fourth quarter in particular, was the Daniel Gafford Denzel Valentine show that we got for a brief second there. That was a lot of fun. The team as a whole took too many threes last night. I don't think there's any debating that. The Bulls do not have the personnel to be a Houston Rockets-esque team that shoots 46 threes in a single basketball game. My guy Jason Goff pointed out in post-game live last night that it was just the second time in franchise history that the Bulls actually took more three-point attempts than two-point attempts. They took 46 threes, and they took 43 twos. But if you're not a team that has elite three-point shooting on your roster, maybe that's not a great idea. Because Chris Dunn, for the love of God, why does he still have the green light to take threes from Jim Boylan, was one of six. Six. Chris Dunn, who was currently not even shooting 20% from the three-point line, took six threes last night. Are you kidding me? Coby White had another terrible night. 0 of 5 behind the three-point line, 0 of 7 from the field overall for 0 points in 30 minutes. And some Bulls fans want this kid to start? No! He shows flashes. He's exciting. He's a very likable kid. We're all hoping that he turns into a decent piece that this team can use, regardless of whether or not they keep Zach LaVine and Lauri Markkanen. But this kid is not ready to start. Are you kidding me? 0 points in 30 minutes. Archie, seeing his minutes shrink significantly in this recent stretch of games, thank God, 0 of 2 in just his 4 minutes on the floor. So you had three of your guards combined to go 1 of 13 from behind the three-point line. Yikes. Denzel Valentine took 9. But at least he made 3 of them. One of them was a tough one from way downtown. And the other thing that Denzel Valentine did was to continue to display his court vision, what we were talking about Zach LaVine not having, and his playmaking and passing ability. That even for those of us who enjoyed poking fun at Denzel Valentine last season and through this offseason to begin this season as he was in Jim Boylan's doghouse because we saw nothing from him last year and weren't ready to put any amount of faith in Denzel after this, you know, string of injuries, and the fact that when he did play in preseason, he didn't look all that great. even those of us who were doubters of Valentine can open our eyes and watch the positive impact that he has had on this recent stretch of games. Yes, his defense is still bad. And after his nice little bucket in the lane, he had a shifty little, you know, like mini, like running hook shot. He got cooked in transition. It was like in the span of 18 seconds, you saw what Denzel can give you on the offensive end and what he costs you on the defensive end. And we know that his defense isn't great. But at least he has been making a positive impact on the offensive end. And right now, the Bulls aren't getting much of any of that from their second unit. And at least right now, Denzel is showing us that aside from Tomáš Satoranský, he's probably one of the smarter basketball players on this team. He knows what is a good shot and what is a bad shot. And it was funny, that terrible pump fake he had at the three-point line last night, and then he takes a couple dribbles in, and you could tell he thought about taking, like, you know, the 16, 18, like, mid-range jumper, and, like, you know, I think Cody Westerlund of 670 said it looked like he had a shot collar on that prevented him from taking that shot, because Jim Boylan is saying, I swear to God, if any of you take mid-range shots, I'm yanking your ass, even though he, you know, quote-unquote, never yanked guys. You know, other than being terrified to do something that his coach doesn't like and that one silly play, Valentine has showed us his intelligence on the floor, his court vision on the floor, and the two lob passes to Gafford being prime examples of that court vision. And Valentine being a guy who can make plays that really nobody else on this Bulls roster can. So then that gets you to the tricky question of, do you take Chris Dunn, whose perimeter offense is non-existent and allowing defenses to completely sag off him and lean on the other end of the floor, the other side of the court, do you take Chris Dunn out of this starting lineup until Otto or maybe Hutch come back from their injuries and put Valentine in that starting lineup? Because Chris Dunn, I mean, yeah, I guess he gives you what he gives you defensively, but he came very close to fouling out again last night in just 15 minutes of play, and his offense and the limitations, we know what those are. He was he was 1 of 8 for 3 points last night, 1 assist. What does that give you in a starting lineup other than giving your opponent an easy way to play defense? Chris Dunn, we're going to primarily play you off the ball in that starting unit because either Zach LaVine or Satoranský's handling, and Chris Dunn's going to stand at the perimeter and brick threes. Maybe you put Valentine, for now, again, until Otto, hopefully, comes back, into that starting lineup. So instead of leaving a guy wide open who's shooting not even 20% from the three-point line, you got Valentine there, who's proving to us that, yes, despite his defensive deficiencies, he's knocking down shots when he gets his shots. Defenses have to stay honest. Defenses have to put a body on him, and it gets more room on the court for Zach and Lowry and everybody else to operate. I don't see why, after this stretch of games where Boylan has put Dunn in the starting lineup, he can't see that. To me, it should not be taking this many games for Jim Boylan to make that adjustment, because right now, as you keep losing games, why not try something different? And the simple basketball observer, maybe to create more space on the floor for your primary guys, instead of having a guy just standing in the corner who's shooting 19%, you have a guy playing off the ball who can actually knock down threes at a respectable clip. I mean, the counter argument you could say is, well, then you take Valentine's scoring and shooting and playmaking ability out of that second unit. All right, well, wouldn't you rather have a stronger starting unit? And Chris Dunn, you know, let him go back to just being a guy who's primarily playing in the second unit. A guy that could theoretically thrive in the second unit, even using the second unit and his opportunities to be the ball handler of the second unit, find open looks for Coby White. You know, give Coby White a possession every once in a while to let Coby attack the basket, but just let Chris Dunn run the second unit. And hopefully, you know, get Gafford more involved. Run the pick and roll a little bit. It doesn't seem to be that complicated. And it's just an adjustment that Boylan is not making. And there are a lot of adjustments that Boylan is not making. I mean, yeah, I guess give him credit for the fact that, you know, he's cut Archie's minutes, which I'm sure is just breaking Jim Boylan's heart every night. And actually giving Denzel Valentine some run. Giving Daniel Gafford some run. And it is, you know, a bigger picture as we zoom out from this game last night. Absurd to think about the positive impact that Valentine and Gafford have had in this recent stretch of games. And that both of them were buried on Jim Boylan's bench. In favor of guys like, for Gafford, Luke Kornet, who was giving you nothing. And Archie and Jack Harrison? What does that tell you about this coach and his ability to evaluate talent? That Valentine and Gafford were buried. And it took injuries and needing to mix some things up and a lot of minutes and not a lot of productivity for guys like Kornet, Archie, and Jack Harrison for Jim Boylan to do something about it, and the amount of time it took him to do something about it. What does that say? But, you know, John Paxton's a fan of his tough love coaching strategy. So, you know, that's great. That's really fucking great. All right, one more topic I wanted to get to today. And this one is, I think, big picture, more important than the loss to the Raptors last night. And it has to do with the absolutely abandoned United Center for this game. Jim Boylan and the Bulls front office talked all offseason long. Michael Reinsdorf talked about the ways that the Bulls could improve from one season to the next, referring to playing better at home, winning games at home, being a better home team. Well, so far they're 4-9 at home, and none of those four home wins have come against an opponent with a winning record. And the United Center looked about as empty as I have ever in my life seen it last night. There was a picture floating around. I believe it was from one of the guys from It's the Bigs that tweeted out a picture of the United Center. And I'm not sure exactly what time the picture was taken. I think it was before tip-off or maybe shortly thereafter. But, I mean, even shots of the crowd from the broadcast, you could tell the place was a ghost town. The official attendance that was announced at the United Center was 14,775. No way that many bodies actually came through the turnstiles last night. Based on the pictures of the crowd, I would be surprised if 7,000 people were there. There was a smattering in the lower bowl. Most of the 200 and 300 were empty. Most of the suites were empty. And it's finally starting to show that this fan base has had just about enough of not mediocrity, but of less than mediocrity. Because Bulls fans have been griping for years about wanting change. I am very much a part of that crew that has been wishing and hoping and crying out for years that no real change will come to this organization. As much as we want to see Gar Forman gone, as much as we want to see John Paxson gone, and yes, obviously, this bimbo of a head coach gone. None of that's going to change unless Jerry Reinsdorf and his son Michael start to see a hit to their pocketbooks. Because for all of the crying and griping and moaning Bulls fans do on Twitter and you know their various social medias and calling into sports talk radio here in Chicago, the United Center, through all of this mediocrity, has still been the best, or at least one of the best, attended home stadiums in the NBA, year in, year out. Going back the past 10 years, they finished first or second every season up until the start of this rebuild. And then it fell to like 6th or 7th. And then last year it fell to like 11th. This year, when you're talking about not attendance, which again is a number based on ticket sales, not bodies through the door, based on percentage of capacity filled, as of last night, the Bulls were 23rd in the NBA. 23rd. And the eye test, when you watch that game and saw shots of the stadium, backs up that number. Because a small and largely disinterested crowd sat there and watched a bad basketball game between two teams playing on the second night of a back-to-back. But this message is finally, maybe, being delivered by the Bulls fans who were always saying, we got to stop spending money and we got to stop going to the game, blah, 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 blah. And yet, there was the United Center filled to the brim almost every single night. Well, not anymore. And Jim Boylan was asked about this after the game, and I believe it was Joe Calley of the Sun-Times who asked him about this fan base kind of, you know, losing faith in the message and the direction right now, noting, you know, the huge number of empty red seats at the United Center. And here is what Jim Boylan had to say to that question. Quote, I can't speak for everybody or the fans. I get a lot of positive feedback from our group. I think people understand what we're trying to build. It's disappointing when we don't win games. It's disappointing when we don't win home games. This team is playing hard, and they're competing, and they're growing. I think people can see that, too. I'm not going to let these things deter me from understanding who we are and what we're trying to do and what we're building. I'm not. I can't control, parentheses, fans' opinions. I'm not going to do it, end quote, Jim Boylan. I mean, I understand that Jim Boylan was put in a difficult position when asked that question. Because, and it's something, you know, my buddy John pointed out on Outsiders last night, it's not like Jim Boylan has any control over the Bulls getting fans in the doors. From a pure marketing standpoint, he's just the head coach. His job is to win basketball games. Or, I guess, this season, to develop guys. But it is a fair question in the sense that Bulls fans, for the most part, felt some level of optimism this season, building off of what we saw last year. Zach LaVine and or Lauri Markkanen making the stride towards being all-star caliber players, development from Wendell Carter Jr., an exciting duo of rookies with Kobe White and Gafford, interesting pieces added in the offseason, Satoransky and Thad Young. Bulls fans, for the most part, were saying, all right, we should see a sizable jump this year. As far as wins, we're coming off a 22-win season. I don't know if playoffs are like likely, but they're possible. And it's certainly possible to be somewhere in the realm of 35 or so wins as opposed to 22. And even that should be enough for this rabid fan base to walk through the doors and to continue spending their hard-earned money on this team that we all love with all our hearts. And what we have seen so far this season and the performance we have seen on their home floor so far this season, in that aspect, Jim Boylan very much is responsible for answering that question about how empty the United Center was last night. It hasn't even taken a dozen home games for the majority of this Bulls fan base to say, why the hell would I go pay money to watch this crap? Why would I spend my free evening going to the United Center to watch the Bulls lose? I don't know how they're going to lose tonight, but I know they're going to lose tonight. And that message of stop showing up, stop spending money, stop giving the Reinsdorfs your money, that Bulls fans were threatening to do for years but never actually did. Well, it looks, based on how empty the United Center was last night, that that message may finally be being delivered by this fan base that has had just about enough of this incompetence. And I am beyond curious to see how the Reinsdorfs will deal with this. You're not making any money on concessions. You're losing ticket sales. You're being embarrassed. You're the Chicago freaking Bulls. And Twitter was rife with pictures of your empty stadium last night for a game in which you were hosting the defending champions. Should be somewhat of a draw. Yeah, I know it's the Kawhi-less defending champions, but the Raptors are still the defending champions. And you can't get like 10,000 people into your stadium for that game? Maybe we have finally reached that breaking point as a fan base. And if the Reinsdorfs have their ears open at all to what's going on and the pulse of the heartbeat of their fans and actually give a damn, how many of those seats would be filled next week if they had themselves an interim head coach? Boylan was gone, Gar was gone, Pax was gone. I'm not saying they would go back to being the top highest attended stadium for home games in the NBA, but just a fun hypothetical question. If following the Christmas holiday, everybody's holiday schedules calm down a little bit, everybody's looking for, you know, something to do on a cold wintry night, hey, why not go to the United Center? How many of those empty seats would be filled for their next stretch of a dozen home games if the Reinsdorfs finally said, you know what, enough is enough? I don't see them doing that mid-season. I don't see them making that change mid-season. Getting rid of everyone, cleaning house entirely a third of the way into the season, it seems very unlikely. But you gotta wonder, if they did, might stop the bleeding of their pocketbooks. If Bulls fans finally got what we've been crying out for years, which is a complete overhaul of this system, it would show a little bit of good faith, wouldn't it? But we just have to sit here and hope for change. But good for you, Bulls fans. And this is coming from someone who's torn, because as someone who now works in the industry and works by and large with this team, connected to this team, As a member of the Bulls Outsiders, as an employee of NBC Sports Chicago, I essentially work with and for the Chicago Bulls. They own a huge stake of this regional sports network. So I want them to be better. I want Bulls fans to want to watch the games, because if they're watching the games, they're watching my post-game show. As someone who works in the industry, I don't want this to have to be the path. But as a Bulls fan, for years, this has seemed like the only correct path. Stop showing up. Stop giving them your money. Send a message loud and clear. Hey, Reinsdorfs, wake the fuck up and change something. I don't love that has to be the way. I would much rather just be a content fan and a content employee of a sports network who watches the games and talks about the basketball and not the failings of the organization as a whole. I would love that to be my life, but it's not. But as a fan, if that's what we need to send the message, then that's what we need. That's it for today. Appreciate all of you out there at Bulls Nation who continue to tune in to this podcast and to Bulls Outsiders. You have no idea how much I appreciate it. I know things are hard, and it's not easy to be a diehard fan of a team that's going through turmoil like this, but we got to be there for each other today and every day. So hit us up on that text and voicemail line, 331-979-1369. We'll do as much mailbag content as we can tomorrow. Hopefully I'll have Jordan back on the mic with me. And until then, enjoy a night without Bulls basketball. They'll try again on Wednesday when they take on the Hawks, a team that they've actually managed to beat already this season. So until tomorrow, for my co-host Jordan Malley, Matt Peck, saying thanks for listening, Bulls Nation. Hang in there. And I'll talk to you tomorrow. Peace out.
I don't know. I can't speak for everybody or the fans. I get a lot of positive feedback about our group. I think people understand what we're trying to build. It's disappointing when we don't win games. It's disappointing when we don't win home games. Nobody's running from that. This team is playing hard, and they're competing, and they're learning, and they're growing. So I think people can see that too.
Locked On Bulls, a show for the most passionate fan base in the NBA. Hosts Jordan Malley and Matt Peck dive into the best Bulls news and stories around the NBA. For more content and to stay up to date, head over to LockedOnBulls.com